Well, good morning, everybody. Hope everyone that was able to come had a good day of fellowship yesterday. Had a lot of fun and just always a blessed time. Get to be with our church family. And I sure appreciate that opportunity. We're still here in the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter number 2. And as I've said last couple times, really trying to deal with these three verses, verse 9, 10, and 11 together. Didn't make it through that last week, but Lord willing, we'll try to today. We'll just start the reading there in verse number 9. The Bible says that he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And so last week we dealt with verse number 9, and few of the things that we had mentioned there was we saw the held position of this person that they abide in the light. He that saith he is in the light. So that was that claim that he made. He held that position. He was in the light. But the problem with that position that he held was that his life did not back up what he had said, because it goes on to tell us he that hateth his brother. It says that he's in darkness even until now. So he said he was in the light, but so he had that held position, but then he says he hateth his brother. So we find that we've got a person that claims to be in the light, but they're a hating person. That's a bad place to be. And a Christian ought not to be dealing with hatred in their heart. And in fact, I really think that John here is teaching that a Christian cannot harbor that hatred in his heart. It just don't add up. And we looked at that last week. But then the last part is in darkness even until now. And so what we find is, as I just said there, that it was a hoax profession. You know, he makes the claim, but really there's nothing to that claim, because his life just does not add up to it. And that's a very sad place to be. And a lot of people have they're not fooling the Lord. That's the thing about it. I mean, you can make every claim you want to, but you won't fool him. Bad part is that you can fool yourself. And Nathaniel, I can fool you, and you can fool me. There's one thing for sure: I'll never fool him. Never fool him. And you can try all you want to, but it will not work. And so. So let's look on at verse number 10 as we come to it. We're dealing here with this expression of love and hate for the brethren. In verse number 10 it says, he that loveth his brother. You notice it doesn't say that he that saith he loveth his brother. It just says he that loveth his brother. That's what he really does. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. So the first thing we see here, obviously, is a loving brother. That ought to be the kind of Christian that every person in this room is.
Oh, yes.
A loving brother or a loving sister. And what does this love look like? What does it look like for me to love you and for you to love me? We dealt with that just a little bit last week. I'm going to read you some of these things. You know, as I said last week, the Bible tells us that we're to love one another, we're to be kindly affectionate toward one another, we're to forbear one another, we're to prefer one another, we're to be considerate of one another, forgive one another, we're to provoke one another, we're to have compassion one of another, we're to bear one another's burdens. And the Bible says we're to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's what loving the brother looks like. Look with me at Romans chapter 12. We look like him. I mean, that's essentially what it says. But Romans chapter 12, look at the latter part. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Hearing a lot of pages turn, I want you to see this. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. And you that know the scripture, Paul is talking to the body of believers here, and he's trying to help them. And so he's talking to a bunch of people that are supposed to be brothers. And he comes to verse number 9, and see what his first phrase is here. He says, "Let love be without dissimulation." What that means is don't let it be fake. We don't come in here and just claim to love one another. That's not what it's supposed to be.
Go ahead,
I'm not supposed to come in here, Brother Rick, and just put on a smile when I'm around you and tell you I love you, but then walk outside of these doors and run you down.
Right.
It says, let it be without dissimulation. So here's what I'm going to say today is if you're part of this church, if you're part of any church for that matter, and if you've got a brother or a sister, and you come in here and you act and claim like you love them, but you walk out those doors and you have anything to say that drags down them or their testimony, the Bible is dead against you.
That's right.
It's real plain. It says, love, let it be without. Let it be without dissimulation. In other words, you can't fake it. You can't fake love. The love, not the love that this Bible's talking about. That's not love at all. But the problem is we've got a lot of church people that this is the kind of love and the only kind of love that they have. It's not a real love. And you know as well as I do, well, I hear it all the time. Oh, so-and-so, yeah, they go to church with me, but blah, 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 blah. They do this, 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 and we're running them down. It's one thing for us to try to be expressing concern and trying to figure out how we can help them. Hopefully you have those conversations. Maybe there's two of you together that's having a conversation, and both of you are aware of this brother or sister that's having a problem. Maybe you can talk about that and say, what can we do to help them?
Right.
That's the spirit that it's supposed to be done in. And then it don't leave that conversation and go on to somebody else's conversation. But the problem is we just continually have people dragging one another down. But then we come into the church and we think that we can come in here, Dustin, and fake that we love each other. And the Bible says, let it be without dissimulation. This is hard stuff. But it is good. It is good. It don't make you feel so good, but it's good for every one of us to hear what the Bible really says. It's easy for us to read these words like, let love be without dissimulation. Boy, that sounds good, Lord. Let's keep reading. But you ever look up what he means when he says that? Unfeigned, not faked. Let it be real. You ever question yourself, do I really love my brothers and sisters in Christ? Let it be without dissimulation. Look what he says, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly, I already mentioned this one, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, what? Preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints. That means helping one another. Given to hospitality. Some of us need help with being hospitable, don't we?
Yes.
Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. What about this one? Do you ever do this with your brother? Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And weep with them that weep. That's what we ought to do. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend. That means bring yourself down to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. That means even if your church member offends you, don't recompense evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. This is just real slow. Just let this sink in. As much as lieth in you. You know what that means? Do everything in your power. Nathaniel, we try to fix everything that we possibly can with the brethren, but not just with them, with all men. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You got any relationships in this church or outside that aren't peaceable right now? You know what you're called to do? Give everything you got to make it peaceable. Does that mean you always can? No. But it says, if it be possible. That means give everything that you have inside of you to live peaceably. Do you back up on the truths of God's word to live peaceably? No. But you be careful how you handle those situations. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. It's not your place to throw wrath at somebody. He says, give place unto it, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, it should go without saying for your brother. But he says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Understand that that is not the motive of why you do it. That is not what he's saying. He's not saying that you help your enemy so that you can heap coals of fire on his head. What he's saying is, but if you do, he'll recognize it. And it'll hurt him. And he'll figure out he needs to make something right. That's what it's saying. It'll start bothering him. But that's not our motive, Brother Creston, in helping somebody. Never is our motive to help somebody in order to hurt them or cause them pain. It's never good to approach somebody with a problem and do it so that you can take a knife and stab it in them. That's not our goal. And if we ever try to help somebody in that aspect, you're not helping them at all. You're hurting the problem, making it worse than it already is. He says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. All that goes together. And if we want things right in this church and in every individual life in this church, you know what we'll do? We'll take all that and we'll apply it. And we'll love and we won't be fake. And we'll help each other and not hurt each other. We'll love our enemies. All those things. None of that's easy, is it? I mean, the reality of it is it's hard to love somebody that hates your guts. And the truth of it is about probably every one of us that has ever stood for anything has somebody that does not like us. And that's just the truth of it. And Kevin said, get in line. Amen. And that's right. I'm telling you, it don't matter if it's at the workplace, if it's at the home place, if it's at the school place, if it's at the ballpark. If you stand for the truth, guess what you're going to do? You're going to make enemies. And people just not going to like you. But you know what your job is? Is you love them anyway and you live peaceably with them. And, just love on people. And especially if it's your brother. He said preferring one another. You better give preferential treatment. Those that are your brothers and sisters in Christ. You better make sure that you're protecting that relationship. That's what he's saying. In honor, preferring one another. We got to be real careful. Look what he says right over in the next chapter in Romans 13. Verse number 8. He says, owe no man anything but to do what? But to love one another. Man, if we could all get this, if we could get these three verses right in our lives, man, a lot of our problems would just vanish. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another, what's it say? What's he done? Hath fulfilled the law. That's a heavy, big statement. But what happens, what we understand from what he's saying is that love is what the whole law hinges on. You want to get it all right, you know how, what you do? You start loving. For this, what he says is, if you love like you're supposed to, thou shalt not commit adultery. Folks, if you love your wife, if you love your husband, guess what you won't do? You won't commit adultery on them. If you love somebody, guess what else you won't do? You'll not kill them. Thou shalt not kill. Pretty simple, isn't it? If you love somebody, you won't take their things. Thou shalt not steal. Dustin, if I love you, guess what else I'm not going to do to you? I'm not going to lie to you. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness. If I love you, I'm not even going to desire to take what you got. He says, thou shalt not covet. I'll be glad because I prefer you. I'd rather you have it as for me to have it.
Yes,
and he says, and if there be any other commandment, he said, just throw anything in there you want to throw in there. Whatever commandment you can think of, it hinges on love. It is briefly comprehended. He says, just all swallowed up. Taking it, that's what that word comprehend. Comprehensive. You got comprehensive coverage, what's that? Covers everything, right? If it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt do what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Didn't Jesus address who was thy neighbor?
Yep.
I think everybody should know who their neighbor is. Whoever you can help is your neighbor. Verse number 10. Love worketh no ill. You notice that? It means no wrong, no hurt, none of those things. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor.
Right.
Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I'll never forget, Dustin, the first time I read this passage. It just cut me. Years ago, this passage cut me to the heart. And I recognize my whole problem, Kevin, with my being is my love. Whether it be my love for the Savior, or my love for the brother, or my love for the world, anytime we sin, you can just mark it down. It's a love problem.
You're right.
That's why it was such a big deal when the Lord said to that church over there at Ephesus,
right,
he said, you've left your first love. They had a love problem. Every one of us in here, you know what? We've got a love problem. But this brother here in 1 John, he didn't have that problem, Brother Creston. It says that, back in verse 10, it says, he that loveth his brother, he just loves him. And his life shows it. It's not that he says it. He don't go around claiming, Kevin, that he loves his brother. It's not what it says. He just does it. I like to see people. Ain't it a blessing to just see people love on one another? And they're not out saying, let me show you what I've done for so-and-so. But they just go and do it. Maybe it's cutting wood for somebody who's got a tree that's down. We've done that in this church, haven't we? Or whatever. I mean, just any little act of love, act of service for somebody. You want to be a blessing to somebody? Just actively love them. That's what you do. You actively love. You invest yourself in them. And that does more for anybody than any words that you can ever say. Now, it's okay to say you love somebody, but you better not say it and then not show it. That's what gets a lot of us in trouble, ain't it? We say a lot of things, yet we don't show it. But here, what we have right off the bat is the loving brother. He that loveth his brother. Man, I'd like to have a whole lot of people in this church that love their brothers and sisters. That's what we want. But you notice the next thing we see, the light that's brighter in verse number 10. He says, he abideth in the light. He's not in darkness. He's not in darkness. He abideth in the light. It's not just a claim to him. He's actually demonstrating what he really is. Just as the book of James teaches that faith without works is dead, your claim of love without you demonstrating it, guess what it is? It's dead. If I told my wife that I loved her, but I never did anything to demonstrate that, how long you reckon she's going to believe that before she starts saying, is he telling me the truth? If I never did anything to help her, never offered, nothing. Jonah, that wouldn't work for too long. Don't tell Lily you love her, but yet you see her struggling with something, or you see her in need, or see something that you could do to help her, and just leave it laying. Men, it's okay to help wash dishes. It's okay to fold laundry. It's okay to pick up your dirty stuff out of the floor.
Right.
It's okay. Hey, here's an easy one. It's okay when your wife asks you to put the toilet seat down that you really do it. Just because you love her. Is it just as easy for her to put it down as it is for you? Yeah. But you know what you should do? You should love her. And you should just do it because it helps her. You say, well, you're crazy. Say what you want to. I believe that's right. That's real simple stuff. And you may look at me and say, man, he's a nutcase. But you know what? I do love my wife. And I do want to help her. And you should love yours and want to help her too. And it shouldn't just be that. It ought to be we ought to love one another. And Brother Jerry, if I see you have a need and I know that I can help you with that, I'll just help you. I think it was Aaron and Hur saw a need, didn't they? And what'd they do? You reckon Moses said, hey, will you all come hold my arms up? I don't think he had to. I think they saw that when he held his arms up, everything was good. And when they started coming down, it wasn't working out so good. We need to get them arms up. They just helped him. And we ought to do the same for one another. We ought to love one another. We ought to just demonstrate it. You know, as I said, faith without works is dead. A love that is not demonstrated is dead. But you notice the thing about it is he says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. You notice that he is not loving his brother in order to get himself in the light. But he loves because he's living in the light. When you live in the light, you can't help but reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if you live close to Christ, you can't help but love the way that Christ loves. Now, can you love as much as Christ loves? I don't know that we can do that in this body. But what I do know is that I can reflect as much of it as I possibly can. And that's what we should be doing. It's not that we do all these things in order to gain favor with Christ. It's that we love Him, we live and abide in Him, and because we do those things, all these other things that we've been discussing, they just naturally come about. It's not that this is to bind us down. These commands are not binding commands that should weigh us down. But His love is supposed to set us free so that we can do all these things. That's what it's about. You see, what happens is the reason that a lot of us don't help and don't love is because we are bound down. But we're not bound down by Christ. We're bound down by everything else in our life. And that's what puts a hindrance on us doing all these other things that we should be doing. But I'm thankful that the Bible reminds us that we're supposed to be doing these things. Because I'm just human and I'd forget. It's the way it is. So, we just get ourselves so bound down that we can't love like we're supposed to love. So we have a loving brother. We have that light that's brighter where we ought to be living. But then look at what we find in the latter part of that verse. He says, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You know what you get when you live in the light? You get a life that's better. For every believer in this room, you know where your best life now is? It's in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want your best life right here in this place, where we live, get in his light. And you'll find your best life now. And so there's none occasion of stumbling. So what that word occasion, what that means is there's no place for it. There is no opportunity. If you are living in the light of Christ, he's shining every trap, every stumbling block, everything there is that could trip you up and harm you. You know what his light does for that? It makes it show up. The problem is a lot of us are living in darker places, and so that we can't see. We're not close enough to his light to be able to see all those things. And that's why we get tripped up. But he's saying, if you're living in his light, you'll be able to see all those things. And they'll be open to you. He says, there is none occasion of stumbling. That word stumbling, I hope everybody understands, is to trip up or to err. There's no opportunity for that if you're living in his light. But it's when we turn away from his light, when we shadow his light and say, Lord, I don't want to really see this right here, is when we get ourselves into trouble. That word stumble, if you look up where it's derived from, what I read was that it's derived from the word a trap stick or a snare. And what you find is that when you're in the dark, you can't see the snares of the devil. You can't see the traps that he has. But if you're in the light, they're a whole lot easier to see. The devil can't disguise them near as easy in the daylight. So you know where the safest place for you to be? It's to walk around in the light. And any of us that have got out in the dark and tried to walk around without a light, you cannot. You'll find yourself everywhere. You will tell you, I've said this before. I've tried to walk in deer hunting in the morning before daylight. I mean, it's dark, pitch black outside. And say, I'm not going to use a light. I know where I'm going. Man, you take off, and before you know it, you've walked three or four times as far and covered in sweat. You've worked yourself to death before you ever even get to where you're going. Whereas if I'd have just turned my light on for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I'd have got where I was going, and it'd have been a whole lot easier. And I wouldn't have made near as much ruckus and wouldn't have caused near as much disturbance as what I did by trying not to turn my light on.
Yes, sir.
I thought I was doing better. I thought, man, I got this under control. And man, you end up with your foot in a hole, your ankle hurt, drop your gun. I've dropped my gun on rocks, busted my scope off. I've done all kinds of dumb things like that. Trying to do what you thought was a little better.
Go ahead.
Instead of just turn the light on. Do what you know to do, and just be comfortable with it, and have my best life now. That's what I could have. But instead, I caused myself a lot of grief, a lot of heartache. But that's what that word stumble is derived from, a snare. And you better believe, if you're walking around in the dark, the devil, he just start laying them out everywhere because you can't see them. And you're liable to fall all over the place. And as we said, none of us lives to ourselves. None of us dies to ourselves. So if you do that and you fall, you end up hurting a lot more than just you. And that's what we got to continually remember, is that, man, if I fall, I shipwreck a whole pew there, people. And Brother Kevin, the reality of it is probably a whole lot more than that. I might hurt a lot of you if I make shipwreck. Brother Creston, you shipwreck, wrecks a lot of people, Kevin, Nathaniel. Guys, if we do, I don't like to think about it. It makes me sick. If we do, man, that's a dangerous place to be, ain't it? But thankfully, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. You know, it says, you all probably know this. You don't have to turn there. It says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. What he's saying is just be aware. Every one of us is capable. And if you think you're not capable, you're probably right on the brink of failure.
Yep.
But I'm thankful for verse 13. He said, there hath no temptation. No temptation. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. In other words, it's no different for you than it is for me, for him, her. Yeah, it might be a different specific sin, but the thing is, the temptations are all the same, right? And we'll deal with them right here real close in the near future. So I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But it's common to man, but I love that next phrase, don't you?
Yes.
I've got it underlined in my Bible. It says, but God is faithful.
Guaranteed.
And that's the only thing that helps us through all this, is that God, it's not that we're faithful, but He's faithful.
Yes.
Every time those temptations arise and you start to just lean toward them a little bit, ain't He faithful to come by and say, don't even think about that. Don't even look that way. Don't even consider it. You know where to lead. That's the Lord doing that for us. He's faithful. He's faithful who will not suffer. That means He will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, or way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know what he's telling us right here? That there's no temptation that comes your way that you can't handle in Him. This is not talking about trials of life, people. Not what it's addressing. It's talking about temptations. Talking about temptations. You will get overpowered, overpressed under the circumstances of life. There's times that death comes, cancer comes, heartaches come, devastation comes, all those things. It gets to the point you can't handle it. And you can't handle it. And that's why Christ said, cast all your cares upon me. I careth for you. That's why He said, bear you one another's burden, because we can't handle it alone. He said, so fulfill the law of Christ. We can't handle those things. But that's not what it's talking about here. This is talking about temptation. Being led away. But He's faithful and He's made a way of escape for you. But the thing that I understand by Him putting this verse in here, I understand that every time that I succumb to that temptation, God is never at fault. Because in every situation, He's made a way for me to escape. And if I don't escape, if I fall, if I fail, who's to blame? I'm to blame. If you fail, who's to blame? You're to blame.
Yep.
It's not my wife.
Amen.
It's not my kids. It don't matter. Kevin could get up. He's not going to. But Kevin could get up here and preach heresy. And you know that he's not responsible for my sin. He's responsible for his,
yes,
and he'll be held accountable. But he does not control my decisions. I'm responsible.
Hey.
And if you ever want to get that stuff fixed, you got to realize that. David realized it. My sin is ever before me. He said, I know that I'm the one that's grieved you. Against thee have I sinned. He understood that. We got to understand that. But we get a life that's better when we live our lives in the light. And hopefully everybody understands the best light that we have right now is this word. Man, it's in our hands. It's a lamp under our feet, light under our path. I mean, goodness gracious. If we just hide this word, well, David said he didn't even have the whole thing. And he said, hide its words in my heart. that I might not sin against God, against thee, yeah. If he had just that, and if he could hide just that in his heart and not sin against the Lord, we've got 66 books. If we hide its words in our hearts, how much better off are we than he was? We've got it made. But yet we still find ourselves in the same and worse place than those men of God did. But we don't have to. And if we just abide in God's light, man, we get such a better life as a believer. And I hope that each person here wants that for their own life. I want my best life now, and I want my best life to come. And if I want both, guess where I need to be right now? I need to be living in the light now so that I get the best life there. Now, I'm not talking about whether or not I'm saved. We're just talking about, I'm hoping that most people in here is believers. But I've got to abide in that light. Now I understand that I'm applying this to believers a lot. But here, this person that he's talking about in the previous verse that hated his brother, it said was even in darkness until now. It appears that he's never even come out of darkness. But for those of us that have come into the light, and we know what the light is, it's real easy for us to at times to turn away from the light because we're still in the flesh, and sometimes we don't like him exposing things in our lives. And John told us about that too, didn't he? Men love darkness rather than light because what? Their deeds are evil. Guess what? When you're living evil, you're the same way. You don't want to come to the light because he'll just expose it. And ain't none of us likes to be exposed, are they? I mean, that's just the truth of it. And it don't matter if it's something real little, something real big. Ain't none of us likes being exposed for it. Where are we at on time? Oh, well, I'm sorry, guys. I really meant to go a whole lot farther. But our time is up pretty much. So we'll wrap it up right there. But folks, let's take the word of God to heart and live in the light of the Lord and be what he wants us to be.